Well, if you were expecting Greg, I'm sorry. You're stuck with me tonight. So, I was going to have a special announcement tonight by a young lady who was going to tell you a little bit about the backpacks and all of that, but she got sick tonight. So I'm going to try to fill in for her because her story, the way she put it, would have been a lot better than myself. Her name is Dawn, and Dawn is a school teacher. And this last week, she was at a big convention for teachers here in the city, especially the city of Minneapolis. Joe, if you could put me in the monitor, I'd appreciate it. And, yep, there, I'm there in the monitor. Yeah, thank you. Okay. And so, I gotta take my earplugs off just a minute. Okay. So, anyway, she's hanging out at this convention, and she overhears, the way I understand the story, she overhears a teacher telling another teacher about these this church that meets in her school, and they get these supplies for kids. And so Dawn was kind of bold, and she said, excuse me, she said, were you talking about the church at Jefferson? She goes, well, yes, I was. She goes, well, I go to that church. I help out with those supply drives. And the lady got real emotional, started to cry. And this person is not a Christian, not a person who really cares much about God because, well, Dawn was able to ascertain that from other things that they talked about. And she looked at Dawn and she said, I want you to know something. She said, you would not believe the impact on those children who receive the backpacks and all the pencils and all the stuff that you guys at The Rock give to them. Most of them do not believe anybody in the world even cares about them. And they've come up to me often and asked, why would anybody do this for us? Why does anybody care about us? And she said, those backpacks and all the articles that you guys put into the backpacks, she said, I want you to know, Dawn, have had a tremendous impact on those kids because it has sent a message to them that someone out there in the world really cares. 80% of the children that go to this school come from single-parent families and live below the poverty level. Most of them come from very difficult environments. And I just wanted to highlight that story tonight to let you know that that $20 or $30 or $40 that you go spend and that you put together in that backpack with all those articles, it is making a tremendous difference, not only on the teachers who see the kids get it, but on the children themselves. And I just wanted you to know that. Give yourself a hand. And I also want to encourage you to please go out. And if you could take some time over this next week, spend $20 or $30. There's a list back there on the table of the articles that you could get for the kids. I mean, it makes a tremendous difference. It is having an impact here in the school. You know, as I look back over the last 28 years of my life, I'm actually not that far from 50, and sometimes I can't even believe it. Arnold Schwarzenegger is not that much older than I am. That reality hit me today when I was reading about the future California governor. Yes. Okay. Well, anyway, watch Jay Leno tonight, and you'll see the jokes flying. We'll see what happens out there in California. But as I look back over the last 28 years of my life, I would have to say that the single greatest thing, best thing in my life has been God. In fact, I refer to God as the divine treasure in my life. He has simply put everything in my life. He is my comforter. He is my encourager. He is my provider. He's my refuge. He's my rock. He's my father. He's my savior. He's my present. He's my future. He's my wisdom. He's my peace. Everything good in my life is all wrapped up in God. In fact, everything you and I could ever want, everything that you and I could ever need, is all found in the person of God. I made a promise to God 28 years ago that I would spend the rest of my life sharing with other people how they could come to discover and possess this divine treasure for themselves. Every person in the world, if they want to, can experience this treasure. Every person in the world, no matter who they are, black, white, red or yellow, or anywhere in between, rich or poor, good or bad, no matter what their past has been like, can experience the most awesome being in the universe and have an intimate relationship with God. But there is a map to this treasure. And I'm going to spend the next few weeks sharing with you how you can experience, how you can come to know for yourself this divine treasure. The Bible tells us in the book of Matthew in chapter 13, gives us a little story. And the story goes like this. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered hidden in a field. In his excitement, he hid it again and sold everything he owned to get enough money to buy the field and to get the treasure too. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a pearl merchant on the lookout for choice pearls. When he discovered a pearl of great value, he sold everything he owned and bought it. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure that a man discovered in a field, and he hid it again, and he went and took everything that he owned, and he sold it so that he might be able to buy that field and own the treasure that he found. Another man was out looking for pearls, for choice jewels, and he happened upon, at one of those little flea markets, this beautiful, stunning pearl. No one else quite understood its value, but he did. And he went and he sold everything that he possessed, and he gave it. The first requirement, as it were, the first prerequisite, is what is a knowledge of God worth to you? There are a lot of people today that talk about spirituality. There are a lot of people today that talk about God. There are a lot of people who talk about their relationship with God. But as we go through this tonight, I want you to understand something. God is not easily found. God is not easily possessed. He can be possessed. He can be known. He can be experienced. But it's going to cost a lot more than most people thought they needed to pay. And I want you to think about that this evening. Because I happen to know that a number of you, and not all of you, are here this evening because you want to develop a deeper relationship with God. And some of you here tonight think that you have a relationship with God, but you've been kind of hitting the wall. You kind of been feeling like, I'm going through the valley in my life. I'm going through a difficult time. I don't seem to be able to connect with God. There's a reason for that. And I want to share that with you tonight. A few years ago, there's a young lady. She graduated from college in geology. And in her studies, she developed a theory based on some of the data that she had seen that in the northern territories of the Yukon, which is way north of Canada, in a very hostile and brutal environment, she came to believe that there were diamonds there and potentially the greatest diamond find in the world. So after she got out of college, she got everything that she possessed and she went north, way north. The northern territories of the Yukon is extremely cold. It is an extreme environment. She got a little plot of land and she began studying that land and chipping away and chipping away in ways I don't quite understand. And lo and behold, she discovered literally millions of dollars worth of diamonds. Now there's been a diamond rush up there and they are mining, and she is really today worth hundreds of millions of dollars. This young lady would have never ever acquired or discovered this treasure if she hadn't set her heart single-mindedly, no matter what it cost her, to find those diamonds. Her intentions were very clear. First question you have to ask yourself, and I have to ask ourselves, is, what is my intention with God? what is my intention with God? I remember when a particular young man developed an interest in my daughter. You know, he used to go through me to get to her. And I have one left, and whoever else comes has to go through me to get to her. And as always, the most important question is, what are your real intentions? There's a way to find that out. You spell it W-A-I-T. You always find out what a young man's made of when you tell him he's going to have to wait. You always find out. You always separate the men from the boys. And I remember sitting down with John and the first test was, I've had people tell me this, and I guess I can kind of understand this, but sometimes I can't. My daughter Jessica, she was gone all summer at a youth conference, youth leadership training, and I went out there to speak a couple weeks ago, and she said, Dad, all my friends, they all love to listen to you, but they all think you're real intimidating. She said, Dad, I tried to tell them you're not. You know, I tried to tell them, my dad's a lot of fun, and he's really loving, and he's really tender, but you know, they just think you're real intimidating. I said, well, Jess, you know, that kind of comes with the territory, but this young man, you know, I was kind of hoping that he'd kind of think I was intimidating, because that's kind of the first hurdle, you know, you have to go through. If he has the guts to at least sit down and talk, well then, you know, I know maybe I've got an interesting young man, maybe an interesting prospect on my hands. So John sat down and we began to talk. And I said, well, you know, John, I said, I'm very open to the possibility that God might want you and my daughter together. There's a few things that you need to understand before you communicate any of this with her, okay? A few things you need to understand about the life that we raised her to live and what her future, I believe, God intends to be. And you're going to have to step back and decide, after you've been with the rock for a while, because, you know, you're only new to the rock. You're going to have to step back and decide, is the rock what you really want? Not is my daughter what you really want. God and the rock, that comes first. And then you're going to have to decide, do you share the same values? Now, if you don't, I'm not going to judge you. That's okay. You can just go find another girl who shares those values and marry her. God has this interesting way of sorting through our values. And it's found in Matthew chapter 8. Now, I want you to listen very carefully to this verse. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the pure of heart, for they will see God. Now, God is not looking for perfection. Neither was I in John. There are no perfect people, and the last person who would ever hold someone to a standard of perfection is me. But there is such a thing as purity of heart. And what this means, what God is saying is, blessed are those whose motives are not mixed. Blessed are those who come to me with an unpolluted heart, with an undivided heart. Let me put it like this. I want you to suppose for a moment that you've been involved in a very intense relationship with a person that you'd like to marry. And so you're beginning to discuss this marriage stuff. And they say to you, well, you know, there's something I need to tell you. While we've been having this relationship, you know, I've been having another relationship with another person. How would you feel? At that precise moment that you found that out, how would you feel? Would you be willing to consider marrying a person, giving them the best of you? Because, see, they haven't yet got the best of you. The best of you is yet to come in that relationship in marriage. The best of you physically, the best of you emotionally, the best of you spiritually, as you grow with God, as you grow with each other. Are you going to be willing to give the best of yourself to the person with divided interest, with a divided heart? A number of years ago, I was dealing with a young man. And he was married, had just a wonderful wife. I mean, this was the last person I expected this kind of thing to happen. Just stunning wife, sweet wife, loved God kind of wife, pure-hearted wife, loyal wife. And he started having an affair with a girl at work. And this guy, he had the audacity to say to me, well, you know, Mark, I still want to have this relationship with my wife, but I want to have this affair too. So why don't you try that? Tell that to your wife. And I'm sure you know her answer, but her answer was, you know what? If you want to mend this situation, if you want to make this situation work, the first thing that has to happen is the other woman goes for good, gone out of your life. And then we have to begin again, rebuilding trust. The affair has to go. And God is asking the same question. You see, God requires the same thing. The affairs of our heart have to go. There was a young man who once came to Jesus. This young man was extremely wealthy. And he said, "Good teacher." He said this in front of a crowd. Jesus was never intending to put anyone down, but the young man came to him in front of another crowd. He said, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life, a life with you, and to know you?" Jesus looked at this young man. He said, "Well, what are the commandments?" "Love the Lord your God with all your heart," this man said. "Love your neighbors yourself." And he said, "These I have done from my youth." He's very proud, you see, of the life that he'd lived. And Jesus said, "Well, there's one thing left. Go sell everything you have, give it to the poor, and come and follow me." Jesus didn't say to this man, "Oh, you sweet guy. Yeah, that's precious. That's a precious answer. Well, gee, hey, you know, let me help you just see something here. It's just that just one little thing, itsy bitsy little thing." Jesus didn't pull any punches with this man, did he? He's not going to pull any punches with you. This young man had a love affair with money. Money had his heart, you see? And it's only the pure of heart that will see God. Whether you are a seeker of God or whether you're a person here today who claims to have known God for the last 15 years, but you're hitting a wall. That wall just might be because pollution has taken over your heart. You have a compromised heart. Something else has taken over your affections. And it is only the pure of heart that will see God. I want you to ask yourself the question for a moment. What is it that's keeping you from experiencing God? What is it that might be in the way for you? Maybe it's a hobby. You know, it's interesting. I met a woman 26 years ago. Most pure-hearted woman I've ever met. But she wasn't always like that. Her name was Kathy. And Kathy had come to know God at 15. But she hadn't done anything more with God since that time. And over the course of the next 4.5 years, she polluted her heart. You know how? Two things. First was a boy, a man, a guy named Shane. He became her whole world. She slept with him. They practically lived together. They ran together. They trained together. He was the idol in her life. He was the first truly and most important thing in her life. And the second was running. Nothing wrong with running. It's just for Kathy, this sport was everything to her. It was part of who she was. When her boyfriend decided to go to Drake, she couldn't afford Drake. She went to Iowa State just to be close to him. Her world kind of came crashing down when she found out one day she went down to visit him and caught him with some other girls in a very compromised situation. And it was a very rude awakening that he wasn't what she thought he was. But it was actually the greatest blessing of her life because God used it as a 2x4 across her heart. Kathy began to step back and evaluate her life. She began to recognize, you know what? I've wanted this relationship with God. I've wanted to know God in a deeper way, but I've had other things before God. My heart's been mixed. It's been compromised. It's been polluted because the word pure means unmixed with other things. The second thing she realized was that running simply took all of her time. She had no time at all for some of the things that God was asking her to do. When I met her, she was running 17 miles a day. She was anemic. She'd run when she was sick. She'd just run. Kathy went on a walk with God. And she talked with God a lot like Greg's been sharing with you the last couple of weeks. She said, "You know what, God? Shane's got to go. My wife was running on the national championship team in the United States for women. She went to the coach, said, 'Coach, I got to get off the team. I have my priorities wrong in my life.' I met her 4 weeks later. The transformation was mind-blowing. And she has possessed a single-minded devotion for 28 years. She's not perfect. She makes mistakes. That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about what's going on in the heart. We're talking about the fact that actually I am not number one in her life. I am not her best friend. I am not her best comforter. I am not her greatest encourager. That place has been reserved all these years for God, for Christ. And I can tell you that my wife on a daily basis, experiences God in her life. Every day she starts her day connecting with God. I can tell you that there's hardly a day that goes by right now that she isn't in fairly intense physical pain. The kind of pain that for many people, it'd make you just want to give up. It'd make you want to sit down in your room and cry and ask, "Why me? I don't want to keep living like this. I don't like this." It's debilitating. And through that pain, she's discovered even more deeply the strength that God provides in a person's life. Now, I'm going to ask you to bow your heads tonight. And I want to ask you to think for yourself for a moment about your own life and ask yourself, where am I at? What am I allowing to go on in my heart? There may be some of you here tonight, to be honest, that there's a certain someone that you're hoping will fall for you, that maybe without realizing it, not that there's anything wrong with love, but without realizing it, it's compromised your heart. It's compromised your single-mindedness to know God. For others of you here, it's just simply the opposite sex. Doesn't matter what their names are. It's just the opposite sex. That was my situation 28 years ago. I used to walk home from high school making up songs about women. Didn't matter who they were. I just wanted them. That was the compromised pollutedness in my heart. For some of you, it may be what you're doing with your boyfriend or your girlfriend, and you know you shouldn't be. For some of you, it may be money. For some of you, it may be your addiction to the internet and the things on the internet. For some of you, it may be your fears. I don't know what it is for you. God knows what it is. You know what it is. And I want to let you tonight, I want to invite you tonight to give it to God, to get rid of it, to turn from it. If you don't turn from it, it will continue to rob you of intimacy with God. I don't know how you feel tonight about Kobe Bryant. I can't say whether he's guilty or not of what he's accused of, but I can tell you this. That 24-year-old young man, in the private time outside the media glare, has got to be kicking himself a million and one times, scared to death, and asking himself every single minute of every day, why was I so stupid? Why did I allow myself to be deceived? why did I trick myself into thinking that a few moments with this woman was worth potentially my life? And his life is on the line. He could not only lose the 30 to 40 million a year that he makes in endorsements, but his freedom and his life. Colorado has the strictest rape laws in the entire United States. Can I tell you something? There are a lot of Kobe Bryants in this room tonight. What I mean by that is a lot of people who think we can keep getting away with the games that we play. We think that we can keep getting away with the compromises in our heart. And one day, you may be that person who's kicking yourself because your life is gone and time is spent and you missed the most extraordinary treasure that a person could ever have. And it isn't $30 million a year. It's God. It's God. And you missed him. You missed him. He's been knocking on your door. See, he's been trying to get your attention. I'll share something with you about God. You know, God had to really, really, really smack me upside the head to get my attention. But he won't keep doing it forever. There comes a time that God stops knocking. There comes a time, the Bible tells us, that God will not always strive with man's spirit. And then one day, calamity comes, and we want God, and he's not there. Because time and time and time and time again, he knocked on the door, he knocked on the door, he knocked on the door, and we were busy, and we ignored his call, and we didn't listen. And I'm not saying that to scare you. I'm sharing that with you because it's the truth. And I don't want you, God does not want you, to miss out on the single greatest treasure that you could experience in your life. God is the gift that keeps giving and giving and giving every moment, every second, every day, for all the rest of forever, because when you know him, you never die. The next couple of weeks, we're going to get into a couple other very, very, very important things that without them, you cannot experience intimacy with God. But it starts with what's in your heart. It starts with your willingness to say, you know what, God, I'm not perfect, but I know this. I'm like that young man. There's some things here I don't want to give up. There's some things that are down deep here in my heart, and I don't want to give them up. And God's saying, you give them up. You give them up, and I'll give you more than you could have ever gained by keeping what you think is going to make you so happy. I'm going to close in prayer. And again, I just want to remind you that while I'm praying, you can be talking to God at the same time. And there may be things that you need to tell him tonight. Maybe you need to go get some time with him alone after the service this evening. Maybe after you've been with your friends, or maybe don't go with your friends. Maybe go on a drive. Go sit somewhere. Talk to God. It'll be the best thing you've ever done. Father, I want to thank you tonight that you extend your hand to any person who's willing to turn from the sin issues in their life. Lord, there's a lot of people today, to be honest, that share a message that's much softer than this, that's much easier than this, but the problem with it is it's simply not true. It's no more true, Lord, that we can know you with a half-hearted effort than it is that a marriage can be sustained if I decide to give my wife half of my heart and give another woman the other half. There's not a person in this room tonight, Lord, myself included, that would have wanted to marry an individual who told us, well, I just want you to know, over the last 3 years while we've been really, you know, intimately involved and sharing with each other, well, I've been doing the same thing with another person, and I'm just not sure who I want. That would close the door for me, Lord, right there, and say, you know what? I made a big mistake here. I thought I was dealing with a person with a pure heart. Lord, you're no different. You want our heart. And I ask you tonight, Lord, that you'd give these individuals that are here this evening, each man, each woman. Open their eyes, Lord. I pray, Lord, you'd not allow us to be like Kobe Bryant. Lord, what a tragedy. I mean, what an absolute tragedy. This, to be honest, Lord, to be honest, may have been the first time Kobe Bryant ever did anything like this. Who knows what came over him? Maybe it was a moment of weakness. Maybe it was a moment of temptation. Maybe it is a regular pattern in his life. I don't know. But it is going to cost him for the rest of his life. And God, it's one thing to have something like that cost you, but to miss you, is not only going to cost us the rest of our life, but the rest of forever. There's so much we miss if we miss you. I just ask you, Lord, to touch each heart here this evening. I ask you, Lord, to minister to them. I ask you, Lord, to reveal yourself to them in a very personal way. Don't let them go, Father, until they've embraced you with their heart. In Jesus' name, amen.